Life everlasting he offers you. God, he'll forgive all your sin. Trust and believe, salvation receive.
Thanks to Colin for leading tonight and to Audrey for her ministry and song. It wasn't just singing tonight, it was ministry. And we thank you, Audrey, for taking us to the cross and to Calvary. If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 15. Just a single verse tonight as we finish up our meeting, but one that I'm sure is familiar to you. And a couple of weeks ago when Sammy Hylands was giving his testimony, he quoted this verse, and my Fitbit picked up a few extra beats. And but I'm glad that he didn't really expound on it. He just referenced it in his testimony. Indeed, whenever I give my testimony in a place, it's often a verse that I use, because it just sums up my experience. But here, let's hear the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Tonight, here in Lurgan, I just want to lay before you three very simple thoughts. And before we really think about this verse in any great detail, I'm sure that you know the context of this verse. It was Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, his young servant Timothy, and death was coming close for Paul, and he was wanting to write just a few letters of encouragement. It's a pastoral epistle, but nestled in amongst all those verses, in verse 15, we have a beautiful verse of Scripture. And Timothy, as I'm sure you know, was the son of a Greek Gentile father and a devout Jewish mother, namely Eunice. And his grandmother, Lois, also played a very important part in his life. And he had a rich heritage, if you like, from his very early age. And in the time that remains this evening, I just want to think of three simple thoughts from a simple mind. Firstly, a good start. Secondly, a great salvation, and thirdly, a gracious Savior. First of all, a good start. You might not really believe this, but whenever I was at school, I enjoyed athletics and running and all the rest of it, and then I got married to Tyrone girl, and that all went out the window with good home cooking. But it was always very important, and my speciality was the 100-meter dash or sprint. And believe it or not, I used to be able to do it in nearly under 13 seconds, which isn't that impressive, I suppose, compared to Olympic standards. But it was pretty good for me. And then I got taller and I lost my speed. But it was always important to get a good start, to get ahead of the other competitors and to make your way towards that finishing line. And here in verse 15, even those first few words tonight, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." The Greek word there for child in verse 15, you can render it as infant or child. And it's great to see young children here tonight, babies and young toddlers. And really that word there, as a child, really means Timothy was prayed for probably before he was even born. And even as a young child, a very, very young child, he would have been exposed to the Scriptures and the Holy Scriptures. He had a great, great privilege of being raised in a godly home. And maybe tonight, as I'm talking to you, and you maybe see a bit of a parallel between Timothy and yourself. Maybe you've been raised in a godly home. Maybe you've been coming to this church since you were a child. And maybe you've grown up. You've heard the Holy Scriptures. You've been through Sunday school. You've been through the youth work, the teenage work. Maybe you've grown up and you've got married and you're still here. And yet you've had a great, great privilege, a great start in life by knowing the Holy Scriptures. And as we'll discover later on, they're able to make you wise unto salvation. Maybe your parents took you upon their knee. It's been a while since my parents had to do that. But whenever I was a small child, I remember being taught the Word of God at my mother and father's knee. And they're here tonight, and that's not why I say that. But they brought me and my sister, they ensured that we were brought along to Sunday school and to church and all the youth meetings. And maybe, like me, you've had a similar experience. You've been exposed to the Scriptures from a young age. And maybe your parents have been members of this church here in Lurgan or some other Bible-believing church. And you've had the privilege of hearing the Word of God many, many times. You know, I was thinking just before I came into the meeting tonight, if as a child, we'll give you, say, 50 out of 52 weeks that you came to church, we'll give you 2 weeks off for sickness or whatever. But if you're a child and you're even 10 years of age, that's over 500 times that you've had the privilege to listen to the gospel. And the challenge is tonight, what have you done with that message of salvation? Is it a reality in your life? And just by way of encouragement, very briefly to any Sunday school teachers or youth workers here or anybody involved with children's missionary or children's work. I'm from Achillea originally. I'm an Achillea hero. And my mum and dad, there was a church, a local Free Presbyterian church right beside where my mum and dad lived. And they had a children's meeting on maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And I suppose it was a brand new housing development there. There was two there. And the church thought that there would be plenty of young people to come along to the children's meeting. Well, my mum and dad, they made sure. It's all good preparation because I married a Free Presbyterian. But they sent us along to the Free Presbyterian children's meeting. And you know, my sister and I were the only two at that children's meeting sometimes. Just two children out of all the hundreds of houses around the area. But yet, those leaders faithfully kept the meeting going. There was maybe six leaders to two attendants. They must have thought the Bowleses were hard to handle. But I remember having leaders on each side of me and in front of me. But they faithfully taught me and my sister the Word of God. They poured it into us from an early age. And I remember learning a verse from Romans 10 and 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And many years later, whenever I was 16 years of age, I used that verse whenever the Lord convicted me of my need of salvation. And I put myself into that whosoever. And I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved me. Tell me tonight, maybe you know the Word of God. You've learnt all the memory verses. You've come to church week after week. Do you just know the Word of God? Or do you know the God of the Word? What a tragedy if you were to have this great heritage, this background of being steeped in the Scriptures and yet being outside of Christ. And maybe you're here tonight also or listening online. And you're thinking, well, that's great for you, Philip. You had a great start in life. I didn't have this sort of upbringing. My mum and dad didn't send me to Sunday school or church. They weren't Christians. What about me? Well, in the same way that I was able to call upon the name of the Lord, because it says the whosoever, you too are able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The scriptures are full of examples of people that didn't necessarily have a religious background or much knowledge of the scriptures, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy met them at the point of their need and he saved them. And maybe tonight as you're listening or you're sitting here, you can remember, and just remember this, the scripture simply teaches that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's a beautiful thought tonight that anybody that has ever turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation has never been turned away. The Lord Jesus Christ has been faithful to save them. God has given you another opportunity, maybe tonight, or listening online. He's given you the opportunity right now, through my stumbling words, to hear about your need of salvation. That was a great start. That was my first point. I'm not saying I made a great start. Secondly, a great salvation. The knowledge of the Bible gives us the plan of salvation. If we just read the verse again, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I looked up the definition of salvation before I came out here tonight. And I looked it up in the English dictionary, first of all, just to get an idea of what maybe the secular interpretation of salvation is. And I noted the following. It says, it's preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Isn't that interesting? Deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. And then if we apply it to a spiritual salvation, we know that salvation purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary for us is deliverance from sin that would bring us to ruin or loss here tonight. So how exactly do the scriptures make us wise unto salvation? Well, first of all, they show us that we were all born in sin. It shows us that we were filthy sinners in God's sight. Even if we have the privilege of a Christian home or not, we are all born in sin. Think of some great verses in Romans. Don't just take my word for it. Take the word of God. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't consider yourself a sinner. Maybe if you've come up through a church background and you look at other people in the world, and maybe with some justification you can say, I'm not as bad as some of these other people, maybe that you see on TV being tried in a courtroom for very serious crimes. And regardless of what you think, respectfully, I would say to you on the authority of the Word of God that we were all born in sin. We all need a Savior, regardless of what sins you may have committed. We all sin in thought, word, and deed. Tell me tonight, do you realize that after seeing these verses, that do you realize that you are a sinner if you have not accepted Christ? Do you see your need of salvation? That you need to be saved. Secondly, the scriptures also make us wise unto salvation by showing us the consequences of our sin if left unforgiven. Think of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The punishment for sins and our sins is death, and not just physical death, but an eternal death and separation from God in a lost eternity called hell. Now, many people today like to put hell in opposition to the love of God, and they'll say, if God is love, if God is all about love, why Why is there a hell? Surely a God of love would not entertain such an idea. But there's a very important truth, and we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only referenced hell whenever he spoke when he was on earth, but he described it in great detail. Nobody in this world loves you more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love someone, think about it even in our relationships, if you love someone and you know that harm is going to come to them, you would seek to warn them, wouldn't you? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did that whenever he was on earth. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about the reality of hell than he did about heaven. And there is warning after warning, parable after parable that speaks upon this important truth. See, folks, tonight, hell is a real, literal place. And I don't take any delight in having to tell you this or to try and paint the picture about the reality of hell. But I have to be faithful to this book and my responsibility to warn you. The Lord Jesus Christ said that it was a place of eternal torment in Luke 16:23. It had unquenchable fire, Mark 9:43. The worm doesn't die. It's a place where people will gnash their teeth in anguish and regret. You have a memory in hell. It's a place of outer darkness. We read that in Matthew 25, verse 30, and the Lord even compared it to a place called Gehenna, which was really a rubbish dump outside of Jerusalem, where rubbish was burned. It's an awful picture. And lovingly and tenderly, I ask you tonight, is your sin and your rejection of the free offer of salvation to save you from such a place really worth it? Is it worth it? I don't tell you about hell to try and scare you into salvation, but I tell you just to highlight the love of God in providing his Son as a Savior. And you know, sometimes, and I was raised in church, so to speak. I don't know what it's like not to go to church, and that's a great privilege, but sometimes I often think people who are raised in church, and especially young children as you grow up, and you're just used to hearing the gospel week after week after week, you can sometimes become numb. I have the dentist tomorrow morning, and I'm going to be numb. And you can't feel anything. And you know, sometimes it's like that with coming to church week after week. Sometimes you can get conditioned to just hearing the gospel and the reality if you reject salvation. But then in contrast to that, it would be a terrible thing if the message of salvation ended there. But then the Bible shows us God's wonderful plan of salvation. Perhaps summed up in the first verse any of us ever learned at Sunday school, John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, there's a vital word in that verse, and it's the whosoever, and I've already mentioned it tonight. And I think Colin this morning, maybe in his opening prayer, he said that the whosoever, and I hope I quote you right, Colin, but he said the whosoever excludes no one and includes anyone. And that's a great, great truth tonight. Irrespective of your background here tonight, no matter what denomination you're from, whether you're even a Protestant or a Catholic, from whatever faith background, it doesn't matter. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, those of us here tonight that are saved and know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, we had to come to this point where we realized that we were sinners and that we had to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and his sacrifice on the cross. Can I just take you to a few simple words from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2? And it simply says this: behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tonight, what holds you back from salvation? What holds you back from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? You know, time really flies. I mightn't look it, but I'm 28. And I left school 10 years ago. And those 10 years since I left school have absolutely flown in. You go through university, whatever, you start employment, and as soon as you start working, the years just start rolling in. And before you know it, you could be sitting under the sound of God's word as a child or a young person, teenager, and then you're away out into the world, you're working. What holds you back from salvation? And then thirdly, and finally, but possibly most importantly, we see a gracious Savior, the man, Christ Jesus. We just look at our reference text tonight, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want to just consider those last couple of words, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 makes it very clear that our salvation comes through a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you tonight what your faith is in? For salvation, for eternal life, whenever you pass from this scene of time. Maybe tonight you're depending on a good home, a good start. Maybe your mom and dad were saved, your grandparents. Maybe you're relying on good living. Maybe you're relying on good works, charity, helping in the community. And there's nothing wrong with these things whatsoever. Maybe you're dependent on regular church attendance. Maybe you're from a different background and you're dependent on penance or pilgrimages or saying prayers or being a certain religion. Friends, tonight, can I lovingly tell you that salvation is only found through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God the Father dealt with sin at the cross by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went willingly to the cross, and he was motivated by love for you and for me. I want us to see tonight that a gracious, loving Savior who loved this world so much that he provided a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from the destruction and by his sacrifice on the cross. You know, it's no surprise to anybody here that I like Elvis Presley. Whenever I sing here, I like to sing songs that Elvis would have sang, gospel songs, obviously. And there's very few people sing gospel songs like Elvis Presley. But he sang this song. It was written by a lady called Dottie Rambo. And I think it just really sums it up beautifully. It says, he, that's Christ, he left the splendor of heaven. Knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. The little sparrow can't fly. Yes, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Have you ever considered tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven, a place beyond our greatest imaginations in terms of its beauty and what is prepared there for us? But the Lord Jesus Christ left that and came to earth to walk amongst sinners and fallen man. And he dealt with the problem of sin. Think of Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, crucifixion was something that was reserved for the most evil and heinous of crimes. It certainly wasn't befitting of someone who had never sinned in thought, word, or deed. He was perfect. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, hung on a cross, and bled and died for us. Christ offered himself unto God as the one sacrifice for sins forever. Richard reminded us of that at the table this morning. And again in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you tonight, and I'm not going to give glory to my life before I was saved. But if you think of the sins that you've committed in your life, even in thought or deed, and if they were to be put up on that overhead, none of us could come into this building next week. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he was made sin for us, that we might go free. An awful, terrible death on the cross for us. Christ died for your sin. In Sunday school, I remember learning Isaiah 53. A great, great chapter. And I was just reading it yesterday. And it brought back many memories of learning it in Sunday school. But if we just even break in at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a thought tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ took the sin of the world upon him on that cross. The sacrifice of Christ meant that God was satisfied with. And now it means that Christ is able to save whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And we heard last week from Paul about where the Lord Jesus Christ is now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Tell me tonight, do you know this gospel message in head, but do you know it in your heart? Is it a reality in your heart tonight? Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary for you personally? What a thought that he went to Calvary for me, Philip, and the mess that I'd made of my life with sin. But he also went to the cross for you, that you might be free from your sin. I wonder tonight if you ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, and that whenever you pass from this life, you will pass from death onto life, and you'll be at home in heaven, a place that is beyond compare. We hear an awful lot about the United States President, President Trump these days. You'd nearly think some people in the BBC don't like him. But the office of president has a lot of power, obviously. And one of the powers that the president has is being able to pardon criminals and people and release them. And I'm not sure if President Trump has pardoned anyone yet, but previous presidents have. And what a thought that with a stroke of a pen, a man in the Oval Office, or a woman someday, is able to pardon you from whatever crime that you'd committed. But greater is the thought that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to pardon us from our sin, sins that we couldn't do anything about, that no one else could do anything about, but only the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy could save us. Scientists in South America have been carrying out research into a tribe who have for decades died prematurely. And the scientists went in to discover what this was all about. And through their research, they found out that there was a disease was being transmitted through insects. I'm not great with insects at the best of times, let alone South American ones. And those insects were transmitting diseases into the living accommodation of where the people were, giving them disease and causing them to die. And so the scientists came to the people and they said, we have a few options for you. You can either move from where you're at. We can give you an insecticide to inject into the walls to get rid of the insects, or continue as you are. Incredibly, those people in South America decided to stay where they were, and they continued to die prematurely. And you know, I just got to thinking about that, and what a similarity that is for so many people here, maybe tonight in this building. You have the knowledge of salvation. You know the Lord is able to set you free through his sacrifice at Calvary. And yet, you just continue on in your sin. In my day-to-day job, sometimes I'm a building surveyor, but sometimes I have to do fire risk assessments. And I have to go into buildings and risk assess for fire. And we take into account the escape routes in a building, what happens if the fire alarm goes off, evacuation, all the rest of it. And there's a section in that fire risk assessment for fire safety management. And I have to sit down with the manager of the building and go through all the different procedures. And in that risk assessment, there's a part on it for fire alarm and how many times you carry out a fire alarm drill. And I would say 75% of the time they say to me, Philip, do you know what our biggest problem is in this building? And I'll say, what? They say to me, Philip, it's okay when we have a drill and people know that there's going to be a drill. They'll get up and they'll evacuate out and everybody gets their name taken. But when the fire alarm's triggered, usually by someone's overzealous use of the toaster, they just sit there. They just sit there and they just assume that it's a drill. They don't realize that there could be a real legitimate danger to their lives and they would get caught up in the flames. And again, that's like so many people. You've heard the alarm, and simply tonight and on previous Sunday nights, people have implored you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with your sin problem that only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with. How many times does the alarm have to be sounded before you take action? Maybe like Timothy in our verse, you've known the Holy Scriptures from your earliest day, and you still continue. You know the consequences of not repenting of your sin and placing full trust in Christ Jesus. It's my prayer tonight that you put your faith, your full faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the words of 1 John 1 and 9, beautiful verse, if we confess our sins, doesn't matter what they are, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, it's my prayer and the prayer of many people here that you would be made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus tonight. Our final hymn tonight is going to be Softly and Tenderly, 331 in Praise Hymn.